The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thanks be to God, for this is holy word.
Well, we've come today to session 5 of the Transforming Living series, which we've been starting in this new decade of 2020. And today's reading was quite a short passage from Ephesians 5, and it seems to me that the key verse is what is actually the memory verse for the week, verse 15. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Reminds me of what my mum used to say, be careful, she said. And I sort of grew up with that. It sounds like good advice anyway, because we can live for the moment and do all sorts of exciting things which may or may not be good for us in the long term. Or we can live lives which other people find disruptive, and we can find that we end up in trouble. Or we can endeavour to live wisely, which will ultimately be beneficial both to us and to other people. Of course, these days it's very fashionable to do your own thing, and it can be very exhilarating to do your own thing. But the emphasis here is that we belong to Christ. Because we belong to Christ, we belong to the body of Christ, his church. And whilst it might be invigorating to do one's own thing, the thinking here in Ephesians is that we are what we are, and we do what we do because we're in harmony both with God and with the people around us. So it's quite easy to fall into a trap which leads to disharmony. And in its worst form, disharmony can become antisocial behaviour. Now, it seems to me that this short passage divides into two halves. The first half in verses 15 to 18 tells us about four things that we can do for ourselves. And it's a way to help us focus on travelling in the right direction. And it's helpful advice about wise living. And the second half, starting in verse 18, takes us beyond ourselves and into our relationships with other people and with God himself. So as we look at the first half, verses 15 to 18, the first piece of advice we come across is, in fact, the memory verse itself. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And then as I thought about this, it seemed to suggest to me that in order to be wise, one of the biggest decisions we have to make is to live in relationship with God. And it took me on a journey, and I thought of Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And why would this be? You see, we can dip into all kinds of books and go online to discover all kinds of useful information. And as we look around us, we can see that some of that technology and some of that useful information can be used for evil purposes. Now, most of us will have become victims of scams at some point, and many of us will have been entrapped at some time in our lives by somebody else's misuse of information. So it becomes easy to see how useful information can be used either for good or for evil purposes. And sometimes the line between the two is so fine that it's not very obvious which is the good and the beneficial, or that which is ultimately going to land us in deep water. Now, I've got a bit of a picture for this. If you go up to the north of England, to Morecambe Bay, you've got a wide beach there. Fantastic place for going and exploring. But there's a problem. Quicksand. And if you don't know what you're doing, and you don't take the right advice, you can become well and truly stuck in the mud, quite literally. And you have to be really careful about where you go. Now, it seems to me that if we're to get the best out of life, we need to use all the knowledge that we can obtain and apply it by going back to the Maker's instructions. And Psalm 1 seems to have a bearing on this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So point number one is this. In order to live wisely, we walk hand in hand with God. In doing that, we have an enhanced ability to apply our knowledge in a way which is wholesome and beneficial and healthy and good. Paul lists four ways in which we can help ourselves, and the second is this. Don't waste time. What he actually says is make use of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, most of us are busy people. There's so much to do, revising for exams or travelling to work where there's never enough time in the day, never enough days in the week, or preparing meals or clearing up meals, getting supplies in. For some of us, we feel we never stop. Then you turn around to find the kids are on their phones again and quite unwilling to stop what they're doing and lend a hand. I had a boss once who always seemed to have some pithy advice. He would sit there in his desk and he'd say, I see that you're all working very hard, but are you doing the right things? By which he meant that we might seem to be very busy, but we were not necessarily furthering the aims of the company for which we worked. It might not have been productive activity in the finest sense of the word. So what does Paul mean by make use of every opportunity? I think it links to the previous verse. To live wisely means to walk hand in hand with God. And sometimes we find that the opportunities that we have to put this into practice can get squeezed out by everything else that we do. The work we need to do, perhaps, the leisure activities, the TV programs. And we get to the end of the day and we ask the question, how has my walk with God been today? And sometimes we conclude that God has not had a fair crack of the whip during the hours of daylight. So let's promise ourselves that we will spare God a moment whenever and wherever we find ourselves, making use of the briefest of opportunities to touch base with him. And again, I've got a picture for this. In parts of Derbyshire, there are some good places to do rock climbing, from easy climbs for beginners and some tough climbs where you need to know what you're doing. This wasn't me, I hasten to add. And in other places, on the toughest climbs, you can only succeed if you use every available foothold. So Paul is suggesting that we need to seize every available opportunity to touch base with God. If we can achieve that, then we'll have no problem with the third item on Paul's agenda, which is understand what the will of the Lord is. We're going to have Psalm 1 on the screen now. And let's read it together, shall we? So, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The person who is blessed takes a delight in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. And as we study scripture, we begin to get the feel of how our Father in heaven works with people. And this is a major way of discovering how God wants to help us through life. But there are other ways, of course, through prayer, through waiting upon God, through drawing on the experience of Christian friends. Their experience may not be your experience, but it goes a long way towards helping us along the way, in helping us to know and experience a close relationship with God. And this helps us with Paul's fourth piece of advice: avoid conflicting influences, addicting influences. And what he actually says here is, do not get drunk with wine. But of course, there are plenty of other addictions that we can stumble into. We can get trapped by drug abuse. And last week, Tim was talking about wrong involvement with sex. But more commonly today, lots of us spend nearly all our time surfing the web or on our phone. And many of these things are not wrong in themselves, but if they take over your life, then you cease to be useful to the Lord as you ought to be. In the book that we've been following, Dave explains that what you put into your life can either result in a dead end, or it can lead to ultimate enjoyment and blessing. Once, a few weeks after I bought a new car, I went to the petrol pump and started filling with diesel, and then suddenly realised that my new car was not a diesel car, it was a petrol car. Now, that worried me, because if you put the wrong fuel in, you can seriously damage the engine. Fortunately, I stopped, topped up with petrol, and that time I got away with it. But I was dead worried while driving the first 100 miles, and I learned my lesson. The point is, if you put the wrong stuff in, you get the wrong performance out. And sadly, what is true for the car is also true for people. You put the wrong stuff in, and you get the wrong performance out. Put the right stuff in, and what comes out is good and a blessing to you and to other people. So there are four things there that we can do for ourselves. Live wisely, don't waste time, discover the Lord's will, and put the right stuff in. Now, having sorted out these basic priorities, we now turn to what Paul says about ways in which we can work with others for God's glory. And there are three of them. One is be filled, one is be thankful, and one is be accountable. The full text of verse 18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And we've just seen some of the problems which might arise if you fill yourself up with the wrong stuff. Being filled with the Spirit immediately reminds me of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles with great power, giving them courage to witness openly and effectively to the crowd which had gathered in the upper room. Being filled with the Spirit of God will produce worship and praise and thanksgiving. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? When Peter was called by God to Caesarea to minister to a Roman centurion, he preached the gospel of repentance so that sins could be forgiven. And as he was doing so, Cornelius wanted to respond by receiving Jesus into his life. But things happened rather quickly, because before Peter had finished speaking, the whole household was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's as though Jesus had come into their lives before they'd really asked him. When we ask Jesus in, the Holy Spirit comes and helps us to understand more and more about what Jesus has done for us. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that we do for ourselves, it's something that God does for us. And it's being filled with the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do all those other things that we've talked about earlier. He enables us to become wise. He enables us to seize every opportunity. And he enables us to avoid getting involved with the wrong stuff. So be filled, but also be thankful. Being filled with the Spirit enables us to have that vertical relationship, the relationship with God, which Jesus made possible by dying for our sins. And the way that Paul talks about the overflowing of thanks makes it clear that this is something that we can do with our horizontal relationships. Not only do we thank God by ourselves, but we do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And verses 19 and 20 say this: speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What fantastic it would be if the church was like that. And this describes for us something of what worship is all about. It's about meaningful expressions of thanks and praise. It comes from the heart. Encourage each other by sharing worship experience. Let it bubble up and overflow. It's about sharing in the community of fellow believers. And the picture that comes over to me is that it's like a great choir or an orchestra where everyone is singing from the same hymn sheet. It's joyful, gives praise to God, and it's full of thanks and gratitude for all that he's done for us. And as we sang our closing hymn last week, which was "Crown Him with Many Crowns," as we belted out those words, it felt a bit like the kind of worship that Paul was talking about. It has to be genuine. It has to come from the heart. And it's even better when it comes from a gathering of believers. Final thing that Paul has for us in today's reading is this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The essence of this is that we're to be accountable. It would be very easy to read all these instructions and to take them all on board and to set your sails and fly by the wind and in the process ignore everybody else in the church. However, we are accountable first to Christ, but also to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the idea is that we all fit in and pull together. It's like a team. And the other day, Chris was talking about our spiritual gifts, which all fit in together. And when we use them together, there's a sense of unity and harmony, which when it works, creates an impressive sense of well-being and a force for good. Well, my time has virtually come, so how can we sum up? Firstly, watch your step. Secondly, see what God is doing, both in your own life and in the church. And thirdly, celebrate together, worship with heart and soul, giving glory to our amazing God. And just a reminder of that memory verse: be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Amen.